Okay, you're listening to Potential Cast, Season 6, Episode 3, Afterlife, as the gang battles a demon who hitched a ride on Buffy when she crossed back over into our world. Buffy tells Spike that when she died, she thinks she was in heaven.
Ugh.
It's so hard here. It's so
hard. I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
And I'm Illyrio.
Woo! And I'm Rich.
Hello, Rich!
Ahoy!
Welcome to the show, Rich.
It's good to finally be here. I honestly thought this day would never come.
You're
honestly,
not the only
neither
one.
Neither did we.
Yeah, I worked really hard. I worked really hard to make this happen.
Great catalyst for this.
So, Rich, our listeners may know you by another moniker. Is that perchance true?
Perhaps, if they listen to that one particular podcast that I actually sent an email in for.
Well, it turned into a thing.
I noticed. I enjoyed
yes.
that.
Folks, you are in the presence. Okay, your ear holes are in the presence of sound waves that are coming from the originator, the catalyst for the justified
the justification
potential cast.
Yeah, you know, I really wanted to do that every week for you guys. Like, the first time I was like, you know what, this is brilliant, I'm just gonna... I feel great about myself, and then I realized that I'm not a naturally funny person, so I was putting in way too much time and effort into trying to become funny. And yeah. Just for the moderate funniness that came out of the emails,
yeah,
it wasn't worth it.
No.
I'm right there with you. Okay, so Rich, did you watch Buffy as it aired, or what?
You know when Buffy, when Surprise happened, and then it was actually, Buffy was airing on Monday nights, and then Innocence aired the very next night on Tuesday. I actually saw Buffy for the first time, Surprise, when Surprise aired. And then, wow. So my very first experience was Surprise and Innocence. Actually, that's a lie. My first experience was the Buffy movie. It was my favorite movie. And then, yeah, but I was really little when it came out. And then my mom was like, you know, the show is really scary. So I'm like, oh, really? And I was like, oh, crap, maybe I won't watch it. And then I saw that one two-part episode, and I was like, this is awesome. I ended up watching it until the end of the third season when I went to high school and just stopped watching Buffy altogether. And then I picked it up again like 4 or 5 years ago, right around the time that I found your podcast, actually.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
5 years ago? Shut up. No.
4 years ago?
Almost 4 years ago now, Kim.
Yeah, it was 2010, I think.
June.
1,000 years ago.
June.
Get it, we're old. How old were you when the first Buffy came out? That was 92.
I was
right?
7.
98, right?
No, it was 92 when the movie came out.
Oh, the movie. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was like 92
yeah.
or something.
The movie, I was 7.
Ah!
I had just graduated high school the year before. No, that was the year I graduated high school.
Really? Did you guys like the movie? Did any of you see the movie?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved Luke Perry in it, and I especially liked...
Donald Sutherland?
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee's oh,
death scene.
Yeah, he was great. I liked. I even thought David Arquette was tolerable.
Yeah, I keep forgetting he's in that movie.
I don't even remember the movie, but I remember seeing it, but I couldn't tell you what happened in it.
I liked the movie then. I find it unwatchable now.
Really?
I can't do it. I tried watching it on the Netflix machine, and it was miserable. I had to stop it.
Hmm. Yeah, the movie didn't make much of an impression on me.
Interesting.
But maybe it was that. I just didn't get it, probably. All right, so are we ready to get started?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, Dawn is still around, and she's wearing a numbered shirt. I can't not notice numbered shirts now. Thanks, Simone. And I'm like, what does it mean? Did Chris Carter write this episode? Is that someone's birthday month? I know it's the wrong podcast, but come on. It's got to mean something.
So, okay, like, after watching Lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the problem.
You're just more in tune to looking for...
I see the numbers everywhere. Mm-hmm. The six numbers are all in my phone, and it drives me bonkers.
Okay, I'm gonna throw something here right now.
Yep.
I am right at the end of season 3 of Lost.
Nice.
So try very hard not to tell me what those numbers mean, if they end up meaning anything.
Well, if they end up meaning anything, I don't remember. The fact that you're finishing up season 3 of Lost is really nice. I remember that season very fondly, and the one that followed, and the one that followed.
Okay, so it's good to know I have two more seasons before I have to start getting scared.
No, there's nothing scary.
There's only five seasons, right?
No. I think there's six, right?
My box set says season 5, so...
There's two half... Anyways...
Yeah, season 3 is the split season, right? With a cage?
Yeah.
Nice. Cage sex. I remember on the boards when the cage sex scene happened, everyone was all at Twitter. That was even before Twitter, really.
Before Twitter, right.
Yeah, but enough about House of Cards, am I right?
Okay.
That's my new thing.
I know people are probably going to get, like, upset, but I... absolutely hate Spike and Buffy together.
What do you mean? Are you saying that they're making it seem like they're going to get together?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like Spike is turning into her little confidant that mm-hmm. she could go to and talk to, but she yep. can't tell her friends, and I don't like it.
Well,
why?
I just don't like it. I don't see the chemistry between the two, and I don't like that they're trying, well, I don't know if they are, but I don't like that it looks like they're trying to have them have some deep, deep connection, which is going to turn into something more. I don't like where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not buy into the connection, or do you not
yes,
like...
I don't buy into it because it's forced, because it feels like, who can we have Buffy be interested in?
Well, you don't
think, the cast we have.
You don't think the idea that they were both at one point technically dead and came back from the dead is enough of a connection to have some sort of bond?
But I don't like that it's going to something romantic.
Okay. I can understand that. A lot of people... when this was going on, from what I hear, we're just not interested in that also.
No, I don't want to. I don't want it to go there because I feel it's too easy. It's fine if they have, they can bond over them both, you know, punching their way out of coffins, right? But I just feel uneasy about it. I'm not about it.
No,
I could see if somebody said, well, Spike is a wimp. Now, they've made Spike a wimp. But I think over season 5, where Spike had such he wanted to protect Dawn, and he promised Buffy that he would protect Dawn, and he didn't. And he feels like that it was his fault that, you know, that Buffy died.
Mm-hmm.
And it's changed him. The events of season 5 has changed back into a totally different person.
Uh-huh.
What bothers me, I think I may have mentioned it a few hundred times when the whole Buffy bot stuff was going on, and they kept referring. I mean, yeah, when they kept referring to her as his sex bot or whatever. Yeah, we all know that's what, you know, there was a little of that going on, or a lot of that going on. But I feel like I know I'm gonna get crap from this because he's a demon and he doesn't have a soul and whatever. But I feel like he has a connection, and he truly has feelings for her, and he's developing them and some kind of now sympathy. And now they have something else in common with the having clawed them both had to claw themselves out of their coffins. And he genuinely cares for Dawn and like a big brother. But then I think of that song and I can't think like that anymore.
Oh yeah. But that wasn't Spike. That was James Marsters, a creepy actor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wanted to sing.
Yeah, but I buy their connection still a million times more than Tara and Willow still do.
Well, you're not gonna get crap for that because, like, everyone, you're supposed to feel the way that you feel. It's not like you're off on which. It's not like everyone else feels totally opposite. It's so hard to do this without telling you guys.
Isn't it? Please don't spoil.
Yeah, but I feel like their connection or his connection to her is more than sexual. Is what I'm trying to say.
I agree with that entirely.
And it bothers me that they still like Xander and and that the Scoobies still kind of harp on that because it's more than that. I
could see how that would annoy you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just don't like this sense of Spike because I don't know. I don't care for it so much because he was the way that he came to Sunnydale, like balls to the wall. What happened? Like, I understand that, but he's still snarky and sarcastic. But now when Buffy comes around, he's like, he's sad. Are you okay? But he's super sarcastic and rude with everyone else. I'm like, I'm not. Yeah.
You're kind of breaking up there a little bit, Kim, but I think what we've gathered is Spikey no likey.
Right. Just, no, I don't like the sensitive. I just don't like it. To me, that's Angel. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Angel was emotional, brooding, and just like, Buffy, you're the love of my life. And I don't buy Spike as that. I loved Spike from Drusilla. I loved how he cared for her. But with Buffy, I just don't, I don't buy it, and I don't like it.
I felt the complete opposite when I was watching this for the first time. Like,
the
thing that I cared about most in The Gift was Spike's reaction to Buffy dying. And then the thing that I wanted to see most when season 6 started was, I mean, I assumed that she was going to come back. So, like, how is Spike going to handle her being back? And, like, I got to tell you, I was really pleased with how they handled it. Like, the way that he's kind of
staring at her.
Well, I mean, he's creepy. You know what I mean? He's creepy, but he's pissed off at Willow, and he's pissed off at them for not letting him know, and he knows that stuff like this never goes right. So, like, I thought it was nice that they kind of approached all those subjects and, like, went over everything, all the things that they could possibly be dealing with right
now. Yeah.
And it makes me like the dynamic between him and between Spike and Buffy more, just because they have something more to relate to now. And the way that you guys say it feels forced, I actually feel the complete opposite. I felt like they made it so now it doesn't feel forced anymore.
Yeah, Spike is an outsider to the Scoobies. He's like alienated himself away from the Scoobies. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's always been like, why is Spike even still around? But now it's like Spike has a reason to be around because Buffy is kind of using him during this episode as like a confidant. You know?
All right, well, let's go. Okay, we'll come back to Spike later. But what about Willow being so defensive about what she did to bring Buffy back?
Oh, she's pissing me off. She's so fucking arrogant. Oh,
yeah.
Mike, I don't like it. Oh my God. This is the beginning of the slippery slope.
Yes. I am in love.
Olivia is drooling right now.
I'm in love. Can I just say that I had to sit through nearly 16 minutes of bullshit at the beginning of this episode, including some Tara Willow bedtime pillow talk before we got into the meat of this episode. And then it was on. It was on. And it started with the skulls being visible in the pictures on Buffy's wall. Cool. And then we went right into Willow and Tara being awoken.
Mm-hmm.
From their lesbonic slumber by what they thought was Buffy saying things that nobody better say because I plan on saying them later. Man, it was like, oh, they done fucked up. they done fucked up. They messed up. Buffy's not right. Buffy's gonna kill them all. It was... That was so good. It made all the BS we were sitting through earlier worth it.
Okay, wait a minute. What BS?
Oh, the Spike reacting to Buffy, and you should have told me. Why didn't you tell me? Although he did have something kind of interesting to say of, you know, Willow didn't tell me because he knew she might be messed up.
Angsty way of the dialogue.
It was slow. It was a little bit slow. It was stuff I was, it was like, okay, so what are we going to do? By the way, can I just say that the fact that, you know, I've heard people say that season 6 is much more serialized. I never anticipated that this meant that we would pick up exactly where we left off in the previous episode, which is really interesting.
Uh-huh.
It adds a whole new dimension to these series. And if they continue to do this, I'm going to be quite pleased, I think. But as soon as, you know, stuff started getting really messed up, and we were no longer sure what was going on, it was fantastic. It ramped up pretty nicely. I mean, we kind of figure out sooner rather than later that there's that it isn't actually Buffy. But man,
I'm glad that you season 6 is more serialized, or you know, that's what people can tell us without spoiling us. Because I even wrote down, I'm like, this. I'm tired of the Monster of the Week stuff, and it felt Monster of the Week-ish, you know? I think maybe because they're just easing into the season right now. But I honestly did not enjoy this episode very much, but
So. It's a little slow, and I think it's because, you know, it's the Buffy still getting used to
being alive.
Because it takes the whole episode for her to wake up.
Yeah.
And come out of that funk.
Yeah, because I could separate this episode into the first 41 minutes and the last 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that last scene with her and Spike because I was like, oh, finally, she's explaining why she's, you know, been so out of it. Because we don't know, and it was frustrating. Because I wanted to, what's wrong, Buffy? What's wrong? And everyone's like, she's like, oh, I'm fine. You know, but finally, that last scene, I like that scene. But leading up to it, I was just like, oh, are we going to have a whole season of her, like, just really sad? And then finally, like, the last episode, she's going to explode everybody and be like, you're not listening! You know, like, so.
Oh, I have written here, I love the first 15 minutes. And this is exactly what I want from this episode, to see how messed up she feels. I'm, like, on the complete opposite page of you guys. Like, I love that they, like, kind of do this introspective look at her, as opposed to just, like, Illyria, as soon as the as soon as the monster stuff started happening, the stuff that Kim said was, like, kind of Monster of the Week, I felt like that brought the episode down completely. Like, I didn't need the monster there. I didn't need anything except for Buffy feeling weird and off and creeping around like she has no idea what's going on. And then the explanation at the end. That is awesome, like Kim said. Like, yeah. I just totally wanted to see how everyone was reacting. I didn't care about the monster at all. I felt like that was the worst part of the episode.
Yeah.
It seemed to me a monster possessing each character, that seems so elementary. That seems like something that we should have seen in the high school years. I mean, I feel like the show is way past that.
Yeah. And how, like, even how they, how the ghosty thing or whatever was ultimately destroyed. I was like, that was so anticlimactic with some styrofoam head falling on the ground.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
But whatever. But I enjoyed. They had to show Willow and Tara during the spell, and Willow completely taking over and just, you know, seeing her magics work. So, yeah, I mean, yes, we understand the process again, but it's like, it takes a while to get there, and I'm just like, oh, this is dragging.
I will admit that as each intervention of the, or as each instance of this monster taking form occurred, it was less and less impressive.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Thinking it was Buffy, thinking she was all messed up, for me was the epitome of, oh my god, oh my god. Mm-hmm. As soon as you realize it isn't her, there is a letdown, but then it picks back up for me when Anya's got the knife and is cutting her face.
Yeah.
Right? And so it goes back up a little bit, and then it kind of goes down this slope of, well, let's figure out what's going on, and oh, this is a consequence of this. And then we figure that out, and then we have the total disappointment of ghost hag.
Yeah.
Who punches and can't get punched, and then, you know, the thing happens punched. With the head.
Yeah, and it's like it has to possess everybody.
Yeah.
It seems like they're pushing it.
Well, I mean, they were the people directly involved in resurrecting someone from the dead.
That is true. That completely went over my head.
Dawn wasn't.
Oh, yeah. She didn't know.
She didn't know.
She had the weirdest one. Why was she breathing fire like a dragon?
I totally repressed that. That was really stupid.
It was odd.
So weird. Out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn.
But it takes me forever to get through an episode. It took me 4 times to get through this one.
Really?
Wow. Seriously. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was definitely slow. There's no doubt about it being slow.
The season still, I know we're dealing with completely different topics, but it still looks and feels like a completely different show to me.
Really?
Yeah, it's really been difficult for me to get into it. Obviously, it took me 4 times.
The pacing is very different.
Weird. Yeah, everything just seems so. Everything just it looks different to me. It seems different. It's very, it's foreign. I'm having a really hard time.
You mean it has subtitles?
I guess because they switched to UPN, and I meant to look all this stuff up, but I just feel like it's cheaper.
You do? Yeah. Well,
with
that monster of the week, yeah.
Nah.
Did not like it. This is a spoiler. Of the 4 episodes that we've watched so far, has there been any vampire been dusted?
No.
I don't think so, right? They haven't shown
Well, no, at the beginning of...
No, they never caught him at the beginning. I think the vampire got dusted in the biker bar.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. That's something I have to look out for. I didn't think about that till just now.
For Doctor Who fans, Weeping Angel shout out at 24 minutes and 10 seconds.
Weeping Angel?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there was actually a Weeping Angel, but it sure as hell looked like it. Yep. 24 minutes and 5 seconds. You can see an angel statue in the graveyard.
Not Buffy's angel, but Doctor Who
to
angels.
Yeah.
Okay. No, not angel.
I heard you say Doctor Who.
Yeah. Moving on.
Okay, let's go back to Spock. So Something okay. that just dawned on me. Okay. In the beginning, he tells Buffy.
I'm sorry. Getting it now. Sorry, Steph. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
You just said it dawned on me.
Oh. Mwah, mwah.
Okay. Come back.
Spike. It just dawned on
Buffy. Spike told Buffy how many days she had been gone.
140.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. Seven. Four. Six. Yeah. And it was going to be seven.
Yep.
And then later on, he tells her that every night he saves her. And
Wait, I have a question about the numbers.
Yes. 4, 8, 15.
No, no.
23, 42.
The 147, 148 days. He says 147 days. And then when he's talking to Xander later, he says, I fought along your side all summer. Mm-hmm. Which is like closer to 47 days? You know?
I thought he said 47. I didn't hear 147.
No, he definitely says 147.
He says 147.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
47.
I got the idea that it was just the summer that she was gone for. So, like,
Rich, what part of North America do you live in?
Me?
Yeah.
New Jersey?
I think in California, they call spring, summer, and fall summer.
It could be.
Because my summer, maybe 35 days.
Well, you know, like a lot of seasons, like when they came back in season two, Buffy was gone for the summer to her dad's. So I think that most of the time the show follows the
summer break time. For school.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, it does follow.
It follows the
so, like,
summer
I think
break.
This is fall. That we're like it is September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I assume the gift happened in like, you know, May.
May, yeah. Anyway, my point is
timeline doesn't matter.
Not the vampire Spike, but the person, the human William, he was a romantic. And so I think that this is more like William to feel so guilty that he didn't save Buffy and that he
the chip is
dreams about her. No.
I just feel the chip has changed so much because he can't fight who he wants to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming so empathetic and to them, like he's becoming more human in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm over it. Like I want him to be evil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, not right now.
It's weird because even when he was evil, I never really saw him as evil. He was always more like quasi evil comedy relief.
Yeah, he was a bumbling idiot. I remember my first reaction to him.
Oh,
I remember asking, I think it was Bob DeGrand or Kevin Belchutter, who was our guest, and was like, is Spike going to be this he almost gets his way type villain but keeps failing? And he was hilarious. Curses,
spoiled
you
again.
Kids!
Yeah, like, I don't mind if he's a dick for 10 episodes and then one he's like shows his heart and everyone goes, oh, way to go, Spike. Like, I don't mind that. Can't deal with it every episode where he has to have a little melancholic moment where he's just like staring at the moon like, oh my god, no, I don't enjoy it. All right, I'll stop. I think I've killed my point too.
Well, I mean, you're being very clear, and clarity is important in communication.
All right, what else is there?
I need to talk about Tara.
Oh god, why exactly?
And her.
No, we really don't ever.
Yes, we do, because I need to ask you guys, do you prefer seeing the sunrise if you're woken up early or if you're going to bed late? Gabby, you first.
Oh, oh my god. I don't know.
All right, Kimberly.
I wrote down here, she taught acting lessons and then... Because that speech or that little, you know, couple of lines that she said, I think with anybody else would have taken on a different meaning. But because of how she delivers them so wooden, so like, I'm just going to memorize them and regurgitate the words off the page. She is a horrible actress. I'm sorry. She is the worst part of the show because she always takes me out of it and makes me realize that I'm watching a show. The end.
Wow. Folks, if you're new to Potential Cast.
Yeah, you know, sorry guys.
This is Kim being Kim, man. Yeah.
Sorry if you're gonna listening. But it's a day job.
So, ooh. Kim, you're avoiding my question. Which do you prefer?
I have an answer.
Seeing the sunrise if you're up late or if you're up early?
I couldn't tell you because I'm still mad at how she said those words.
All right. Stephanie!
I'm old, so I do not stay up late. Oh. I'm up before the sun every day. So I would love to see the other side. I would love to be able to stay up on that, but I can't because I'm old and I have to go to bed at 10 o'clock.
There we go. A real answer.
Yay! Hey, Rich, what about you?
I'm not going to give you a real answer. I'm just going to tell you that I planned on, and I forgot, I wanted to wear boxing gloves while we were doing this once I found out it was on video, just so that my metaphorical jabs and right hooks at you guys were going to be so much more obvious. But I'd rather see it in the morning.
The last guy who wore props on our show was Robin and his sunglasses, and you know what we did to him.
Yeah. Maybe I forgot them on purpose.
There you go.
We canceled his show.
Pretty much someone having an earthquake? Of what you have thought this entire episode. Do you think that Amber Benson is an Emmy Award winning actress? Is that what you're trying to say?
All right. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I think that she's pretty bad in a lot of scenes, and I think that she's my least favorite character on the show. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. She's not my favorite. I don't think she's as bad as you guys think she is, but I think that in this season, for the first three episodes, we've seen her act a little differently than we used to see her. Not so shy and scared and just like trembly, like she's been kind of confident and more comfortable in what she is, and I like her a little better now than I liked her before in other seasons. But no, she's not an Emmy Award winning actress. She's not even close. She's probably the worst actress on the show.
No, because I feel badly sometimes when it's our first impression of these guys, and then the super fans of the show get so offended because I guess maybe something later along happens down the line where the character is amazing or they have such a breakthrough that they become their favorite character. And they're like, how can you say that? It's like, well, we're not there yet, you know? And so I feel
there's a special bond with people with Tara, though. And I don't think it's about anything that you need to see later. I think it's just...
Yeah.
There's you know how it went, like, you know, they're one of the first lesbianic kisses on TV or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Feel strongly to it. Honestly, that doesn't relate to me so much, so I never felt that bond. I'm more like you guys where she's kind of there and she just still kind of feels like Willow's girlfriend to me. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't really feel like a part of the, she's not in the credits. Anya's in the group.
Yeah, because Anya is, and she's just special guest star. And it's
man, so it's kind of weird to me. Like, she's in the show probably more than Anya.
I suppose.
What's weird to me about her is, obviously she's not one of my favorite characters, and I don't think she's a particularly great actress. But what bothers me is that she's being featured more and more, and it still seems so strange and forced. And again, I think maybe that's another reason why it seems like a different show. It's almost like they're catering to a different kind of audience. Like Dawn. Dawn's less annoying now, which is fantastic, but it's like, oh, let's put more of her in to cater to younger teenage girls, I guess. Uh-huh, it just seems like, even though it's the same cast, because everybody seem, you know, all the tertiary characters are more in the forefront, and then Buffy is wandering around in this fog. It's like a flip-flop to me. Strange. It's very strange and off-putting.
Yeah, and it could be purpose, like, right. Done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we don't know. It's just, for us, watching the first time, going through it, I think it's just frustrating because, like every other thing, we want answers now.
Yeah. Honestly, I know that it's been said over and over again, but there's no way to change this, obviously, but if you had watched it like I watched it, like more in marathon mode, I think that you wouldn't feel like you're waiting so long to get answers. It would just,
they come right
at you, and then you would enjoy it. You wouldn't be like, oh my god, this is taking so long. Because it actually is taking a long time, you know?
I totally agree.
Hmm. Like, I marathoned it. There were just bad episodes in the middle of there. But, you know, I just got the cliff notes for the most part. It's like, that was awesome. I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kim. I'm sorry.
The binge watching, marathon watching has, I say it all the time, has ruined how I watch television.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. There are a few shows that I can watch week to week, but when you watch instant gratification, you could, like, I could watch a season in, what, 3-4 days?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to do, or if I was, you know, meanwhile I'm doing other things that, you know, I can look up and be like, okay, I got the gist of the in-between episode. So it has completely ruined how I watch TV. But yeah, I totally agree.
It's definitely ruined how I watch TV also. Now I don't even watch shows as they air. I just let them build up until like 5 or 6 of them have aired and then watch them all in a row.
Exactly.
I would if I didn't watch everything. I have too much to watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, see, to me, Amber Benson is my homegirl. Like, she's from here.
Wow.
So, I mean, to me, she can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, she's been better. She's been better in other things, too. I've seen her in other movies where I've actually thought she was a decent actress.
Mm-hmm.
She was okay in Supernatural.
Yeah, she was decent. Yeah. And she was in this movie called Chance with James Marsters. They were the
Did
two.
Did she direct it? Didn't she direct it?
Yeah, I think she wrote it and directed it, actually. And she was pretty good in it. She seemed like a totally different... It feels like Tara is not the kind of character. It's not close enough to the Amber Benson personality.
She's just miscast. And I think Joss knew that, but let other people talk him into casting her.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, because he originally said no to her, right?
Right.
No.
And I mean, to me, I am a lot... I think it's because... Allison Hannigan sells it so well. I believe that they are a couple and they are in love. I buy it.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really, really good point.
But and I think I was probably going to say something else, but I forgot.
I think it's creepy that they're shacking up in Joyce's old room.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But because automatically they get the mom's room because they're a couple?
Because it's more room, yeah.
It's the bigger room.
What the fuck do they need all that extra room for?
Well, clothes. Them sharing a room. They can't go into Buffy's room. Buffy just died. They're not going to go into Dawn's room because Dawn's there.
I know, but it just seems weird.
It is weird.
Gabby just wants Tara to sleep outside.
Yes.
So we need to talk about the big reveal.
What's the big reveal?
What was that?
That Buffy was not in hell.
Oh, my favorite scene. Like, I friggin' love this scene.
Okay. All right.
Go for it.
I'm very, very disappointed.
In what?
Well.
What?
This is just an initial reaction. Now, the fact that there's this twist and she wasn't in a dimension of torment, but was actually in an awesome place and she was happy, I have no issues with. I think that's awesome. The fact that she's keeping it a secret from her friends, awesome. The fact that Spike knows, even better. The fact that she called it heaven.
Well, okay.
But I understand why.
She didn't say that she was in heaven. She said it was like heaven.
She thinks she was in heaven.
She thinks she was in heaven. I understand.
So, but, and I think Joss has said that when you introduce souls, the idea of souls into a show, you have to go there. Hmm. You know, even though he is agnostic or whatever. And see, to me, the first time I watched this, I had a really hard time with this whole, you know, this is an agnostic writing about souls and heaven and hells and stuff. And to me now, it makes, I'm okay with all of it. It totally makes sense now that I guess that I understand that he has said that, that you have to, you know, that the, that, you know, it's been going on for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of has to go in these directions.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm just being a nitpicker.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I can see how you would, like, you kind of wanted her to just kind of refer to it as a place, as opposed to a place that is in our world.
No, it makes perfect sense.
That people talk about all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense for her to call it that, because they call the other things hells, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I feel like the second they introduce hell, it's like, why not?
Exactly. Well,
there's got to be another place.
You're totally right. I just, come on. All right.
I know. I understand. I'm not the reason.
This episode was kind of... not expecting it.
Noah?
Sorry, go ahead, Richard.
Oh, I was just going to say, I felt like this episode was kind of on the nose about a lot of things. Like, they didn't try to be subtle about anything. Like, oh, Buffy came back from the grave, and there's always consequences. There's, like, a physical consequence.
Oh, there was...
Like,
there was
a ghost right there. And, like, the way that earlier you were saying, like, she just kind of said heaven. Like, there's not a lot of subtlety to it.
Yeah, there was foreshadowing in this episode. Like, there was so much. And everyone, he kept repeating it, like you said.
Did you guys watch the episode after this?
Yeah, we're going to be recording it later. Whoops.
Haven't watched it yet. No.
That's crazy. Why would you even ask such a thing like that? Jeez. Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
I cannot tell a lie. We just can't talk about it.
Yep. I didn't watch it yet, so I don't have any actual questions.
All right. Good.
Just trying to put you on the spot.
Well, I have nothing left to say. Anyone else?
Yes. I mean, there's so many things I want to say. Are you kidding me?
Go right ahead.
I'm just going to... Do you know the part where Buffy... The part that Illyrio loved, where the fake Buffy spirit thing... was, like, screaming at Willow and Tara and throwing glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked Willow, Tara asked Willow if she understood what it was saying. And Willow was like, I understood the words, but I don't know what it was. Like, I don't know what they meant. I actually went back and rewound it just to, like, listen to what Buffy Spirit thing was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was referring to the deer that Willow killed.
Willow is keeping things. She's not letting everybody know.
She's keeping things from them.
She did that spell, and she doesn't want Tara to know that she killed a deer, and you know that she spilled innocent blood. For the spell.
Yeah, I never realized that until I was just watching her this one time. I was just like, "Yeah, that's a bunch of gibberish." But then I was like, "Wait, the blood dried on your hands? Did you?" Slice it.
What? Quote stealer.
But yeah, Willow knows that she's hiding things from everybody else, and she feels guilty, and she's got a defense up about spell.
He's hiding stuff from everybody else. The hidden season.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
Anya and Xander hiding their engagement.
Yeah.
Poor Anya.
I am so over this. This is bullshit. Sorry. This is ridiculous.
Why did he ask?
Because he thought she was going to die. That's why I think he asked her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he thought they both were going to die. The world's going to end. And then they're
my darling.
And he's like, my bad.
My darling, I'm shipping off to war tomorrow morning. Let's make love. Marry me.
Been there, done that. Not that, but, you know.
You have, Stephanie?
Well, like, I had a boyfriend that was going off in the army, and I don't think that, like, I think
really
that,
Steph? Oh, my God.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Do tell.
Hey, this is Potential Cast After Dark all of a sudden.
Yeah. But really, okay, guys, what is up with that? When
okay, Seinfeld.
What's up with that?
What is up with that?
The glass of wine was large.
Yes.
But really, he would not have been that serious if he was not shipping out to basic training. Mm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Basic training? He wasn't even being deployed?
Mm-mm. No, this was between skirmishes.
Ah, yes. Go but, for 1.5.
Stephanie.
But yeah, when guys feel insecure, that's when they're
that never happens. I don't care who you talk to.
That's when they're all ready to make commitments.
What never happens?
A man feeling insecure. Indeed. Yeah, so that whole part was a direct allusion to the deer. I mean, that's how I interpreted it. And I am very intrigued with Willow being very cagey and secrety about stuff. Like I said, I believe this is the season where her badness, her evilness will take shape. It will finally arrive, and I will be super duper happy.
And she'll kill Buffy.
Yeah, both, of course. It goes without
saying. I love where Willow's going.
I love where Willow's going.
I think it's great. It's a dark, twisted part of me, but I love when people, the bad sides come out. Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Yep. Agreed.
I think it's amazing.
Any other comments before we move on to feedback? I'll play a voicemail here from Moira Brown. Everyone ready?
All
right.
Yay! There she is.
Hi, Potential Cast. It's Moira. I just finished watching Afterlife. Had a couple of thoughts for you. Number one, every time the demon took possession of somebody, I was completely creeped out by it. Like, more so, I find this was, you know, more akin to a classic horror movie than almost any other episode that we've seen. Except maybe that episode where everything was silent. That was pretty creepy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sort of smacked of just The Exorcist or something. And it just made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. The other thing is I was quite bewildered whenever the Scoobies were mentioning having saved Buffy from hell. Because I kept thinking, how do you guys know she was in hell? That vortex thingy she jumped into was opening up the doorway to other dimensions, but not specifically to hell. At least I hadn't assumed that. So then partway through the episode, I assumed I was being lame. And later in the end, when I was sort of vindicated and we found out that Buffy in fact had been in heaven the whole time, I thought, okay, thank you, because I was confused. Anyway, I thought that was a neat twist, to realize she'd been in heaven. And of course that explained why she was behaving the way she was behaving. So overall, I liked this one, but it really, I don't know, it creeped me out a lot. Anyway, I'll give it 8 out of 10 hair standing up on the back of my neck. And I'll be happy and eager to hear what you guys thought. All right, I'm going to go ahead and watch the next one too, because I know you're recording 2 in a row. Later.
Thanks, Moira.
Thanks, Moira.
Thank you, Moira.
I love hearing your voice, Moira.
Do we have any emails, Steph?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you check the emails. I'll do some Facebook feedback. Facebook feedback!
Okay.
All right, let's see. Ooh, we got a lot of comments on Facebook. All right. Robin, okay, thanks again for putting that up there. Taryn says, that end speech from Buffy breaks my heart every time. I'm so glad they decided to make her death the best thing that ever happened to her instead of completely traumatizing like they did in season two. Dylan says, Buffy seems way too lethargic in this episode, like she just woke up from her very long nap. Oh, wait. Ha ha. did everybody else feel that the demon slash ghost thing was a little meh once it stopped possessing people? Mm-hmm. Kind of let down since the buildup was real creepy from it. Agreed. Bob DeGrand, yes, and they had also done the creepy monster as a consequence of magic thing with Jonathan in Superstar. Well, Bob, it doesn't just stop happening, you know? if this is something that happens in the episodes, I mean, in this universe, then it would stand to reason that it happened again. But I understand. Should have gone full poltergeist on this one, says Dylan. Simone sent an email a few days ago. Oh, okay, I have time to email it about Flooded 2. Good for you. Rob says, I never remember this episode fondly, but on rewatch, there are about 5 quotes I use in my everyday life. Val, oh no, isn't this the episode where Willow wears that hideous red top known as the flayed Elmo pelt?
Horrible Elmo Muppet top.
I agree, the ghost thing at the end was lame, but I liked how it possessed everyone, especially Buffy with her creepy rantings popping up in Willow and Tara's bedroom and Anya doing a Dexter Morgan on her own face. though fire-breathing Dawn was hysterical, it supplied Anya with some awesome lines afterwards. I give it 8 out of 10 Elmo pelts.
She almost stole my exact reading system.
Dylan says, so that means Willow did not stop at killing Bambi. She's also skinning Muppets now. I'm having a hard time with my eyes. My eyes say, Karen says, not sure if I'm going to rewatch this one. I think it's the only one besides Forever that just really creeps me out. Not sure why.
Karen says, all right, twist my arm. I did rewatch it this morning and survived. I guess it's the possession that I find creepy. The end ghostly demon didn't bother me. I love watching Spike's face while Buffy is telling him what happened to her. Very subtle yet revealing. Grant says, I'm going to be a little disappointed in Gabby if she doesn't let up a little on Tara for the bed scene between Tara and Willow.
You don't know me very well, Grant.
Lower expectations.
Tara was pretty darn good in that scene. Come on, no gauze, please. No gauze. At least this episode. In direct sunlight, SOD. What a reveal, huh? I remember being really shocked at that. I knew something was up that Buffy probably wasn't in the hell dimension, but in heaven. I love that ending so much. Okay, why would they think the Slayer, a super heroine, would go to hell? Really, hell, idiots?
That's true, too. It's like, as soon as they mentioned hell, and as soon as she said hell, I was like, really? All right. Harold says, the 3 Spike scenes were what made this episode. Here is one way that season 6 is different from previous seasons. Buffy feels the need to make an excuse to get away from her friends so she can spend some time chilling with Spike. Bruce says, yeah, like Dylan said, the monster was scarier before we found out what it was. That happens a lot, though, in TV and film, in my opinion. Willow seems to have the power.
Has anyone seen the movie Signs?
No. Yes. I don't watch
the shit out of me, and then I was like, really?
Bruce Anyways. Goes on to say, Willow seems to have the power, but she must have missed the day they learned about thermogenesis. Or maybe she just doesn't know as much about magic as she thinks.
Sorry, you misspelled it. It's magics.
Ray says quite a bit. Let me get going. Humana. I feel like when Joss was in charge of the show that the metaphors were a little more subtle. This one, while it does get across that there are consequences to the spell that the Scoobies didn't anticipate, has no subtlety whatsoever. The possessions actually look really cool, though, especially Anya. I thought that looked very Evil Dead. Overall, it's an average episode at best, except for all the scenes with Spike, which I liked a lot, especially the one at the end. I have to say that it never occurred to me in a million years when I started season 6 that Buffy was in heaven and that she would not be happy to be back. It's an interesting way to take the season and certainly different than anything we have ever seen before, but I don't really like depressed Buffy all that much. Having the main character this sad and depressed kind of sucks all the energy out of the show in general. And Patrick says, one of the few episodes that has scenes that actually scares me. Hush being another. I remember liking it, but will it hold up for a rewatch? Thanks, everyone. Do we have emails, Steph?
Emails. Chris Reed. What's up, Potential Cast? Chris, you're a big fan.
Hey, Chris. Thanks.
I came across you last year on Buffy boards.
And should I go there right now?
Over there, sup, bitches. When one of the users mentioned your show, so I decided to check it out. It's been a joy listening to you guys, and sometimes mildly very annoying. Wait a minute, that was not wildly, that was mildly.
Mildly annoying. Okay, good. Oh. I feel better.
Sometimes mildly very annoying. Buffy showing up in Angel Season 2 finale. The hell you snorting, but I still love you guys. Anyway, I came back to Buffy after leaving it during season 4, Army Dudes working on a big white shiny lab, and a show was pretty gothic and dimly lit before Hand ruined it for me. I hope you're dead, Riley. Yeah, big tree. Yeah, big tree.
I don't know what he's saying, but I love it. I agree. I hope Riley is dead. And here's what I think he's saying, that a big tree fell on him.
I thought he was saying that he acts like a big tree.
I had to say, yeah, he's a big tree.
Okay, he was.
Oh, did he get the role in Guardians of the Galaxy? Is that what we're talking about? No?
I don't know.
Chris, I'm so sorry. Okay. Where are we at? Okay. Anyway, I came back to Buffy after leaving it during season 4, Army Dudes working on a big white shiny lab in a show that was pretty gothic and dimly lit beforehand, ruined me for it. I hope you're dead, Riley, you big tree. I love season 6 so much. I love season 6 so much, almost as much as seasons 2 and 3, but more on why later. The first time I watched this episode, I was a bag of mixed emotions. Half of me wanted to know what was going on in Buffy's head. The other half was scared out of my wits because of the spooky-ass skull pictures and demon. I was 12 during this season. How cute was Spike taking care of Buffy's hands, and how annoying were the Scoobies. They were like a bunch of kids manhandling a new puppy.
Oh my god, totally! Totally.
Back of the... it's rare that Don is least annoying one in an episode. Hope for the future? I found the demon possessions to be pretty cool this episode. Already you can see the censorship being lightened with Anya's slicing and dicing of the face. Also, Willow and Tara in bed together. Is that the first time we've seen this? Buffy's confession to Spike at the end was great, if not cheesy, with how she was standing back towards him. Willow, despite good intentions, done goofed bringing Buffy back, and clearly Buffy's not too pleased being brought back to the world after her mission as a Slayer was complete.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of you don't like ultra-moody, depressed Buffy, but isn't she the longest-living Slayer? How many times has she saved the world? She earned her wings, and Willow pulled them off her. I'd be pretty pissed, too, if I were living in Bel Air and someone forced me to move to Detroit.
Don't be silly. There's no more Detroit.
Finally, Sarah's body continues to grow thinner. Glad to see she's gained some of it back these days. My rating for this episode is 7 out of 10. Hope you enjoy season 6 as much as I did.
That's a wonderful sign-off. Thank you. Any more emails?
Paul Mackey has a voice. That's
yeah, I'm ready to play that. Do we have any other emails that we need to read?
Missy Poo. Simone.
Oh, yeah, Simone.
That's an email. She says, hi, Gax, Steph, and guest. Oh, Xander, you are not primed for anything, LOL. But at least the stupid biker demons are gone, and that's a plus. Do the Summers women have some latent former gene? Ha, ha, ha. I always giggle when I hear that line. I was often told it as a child. Oh, when you have the beads, the granny beads, the dirt around your neck.
Hmm.
Okay.
Never heard that.
No.
Oh, yeah. Something about, you know, planting potatoes there because, yeah. Buffy's not fond of changes made to the house in her absence. The furniture has moved, and there's a laptop on the dinner table. Rude. Isn't it crushing when Buffy focuses on a framed photo of Joyce? Okay, I have a massive problem with Willow and her ridiculous need for a thank you from Buffy. How about you step back, Will, and realize that Buffy didn't ask to be rescued? That just maybe you did this for more selfish reasons, mm-hmm. Jesus, just give Buffy a break for 5 minutes. She's not ungrateful. She just needs to breathe. Ugh. I swear I love this season. My intense feelings on certain things are a big reason why, actually. I adore Anya. Emma's timing and delivery are a genius. That shot when Xander answers the phone and Emma cops a face full of Nikki's armpit always catches my eye. How cute is Tara? She doesn't like seeing the sun rise from the wrong side. Consequences. You always gotta consider the consequences. The Scoobies created a demon in resurrecting Buffy. Bad Scoobies, LOL. So the baddie called Willow out on killing Bambi, and she lied to Tara about it again. Mm-hmm. Anya slicing up her face freaks me the F out every time. I'm sorry, I can't say that.
That's fine.
I have a child who has a worse body mouth than I do. Donnie breathes fire. That was crazy banana pants. Way to go, Xan. Just let the demon possess you and hear the plan, ha ha ha. But Willow and Tara come through with a spell to make the ghostly demon a solid, defeatable entity. Kudos. And Tara look a little taken aback when that glowy light engulfed Willow. Now for the Spike and Buffy of it all. Spike pissed off that Willow and the others didn't let him in on the plan, and if the final scene between him and Buffy in the alley behind the magic box is anything to go by, then she's not all that impressed either. Heaven, good God, that's upsetting. He looks so damn happy and in love when he sees her descending the stairs. It makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. 147 days, that's almost 5 months. It's a long time. I'm glad you did the math, because I just couldn't. And he knows that she got the wounds on her knuckles from crawling out of her grave. Heartbreaking. Then Buffy patrols her way straight to him. And guess she wanted to bond some more. Hmm. Final point, Giles is on his way back, guys. Yay. From Simone.
Thank you, Simone.
Oh, that was exhausting.
Folks, when you write an email to potentialcast@gmail.com, can you make them easier for Steph to read? Thank you.
Especially when she's had a large
class. It's not fair to follow an SH word with an S word. It's not. It's just as we have
you
a voicemail.
You can't say so after show.
Exactly. Faux show. We have a voicemail from Paul Mackey. Here it is.
Okay.
Hey, Gax. It's Paul Mackey. The freezer room is particularly cold tonight, thinking about
the episode.
I'm talking about Afterlife, of course. It's going to be hard to talk about. Once you get past the beginning with its sparseness, the long atmospheric pauses and ambient-inspired scoring, then you get to the middle. The middle has the creepy demon tormenting the Scoobies and Dawn proving that fire breathing isn't all that badass. You get the final physical manifestation of the demon, which they try not to have on screen too long because of its lameness, but... And it's the end where Buffy reveals to Spike that she was wrenched out of heaven by well-intentioned friends, and every moment is torment. But just before that is the scene that chills me to the core. I'm just going to have to come out and say it. Willow has killed and skinned a Muppet. Or maybe even Fraggle. And is wearing its skin for a blouse. I may never see her the same way again.
Thanks, Paul, for sharing that. It was difficult. I can tell. Hey, thanks for feedback, everyone. We're going to rate the episode now, and we're going to let you know how to reach us eventually. Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
What would you rate this episode?
All right. I would give this, I'd say, I want to give it higher than I'm going to give it just because I like it, but I think it's personal preference. And when it really comes right down to it, it's pretty slow. But I still like the slowness of it all. I think that it's necessary. I'd give it 7 out of 10. You should have thought of a rating system. 7 out of 10 pictures of Skeletor on Bumpy's walls.
Very nice. I really liked it. Although, admittedly, the awesomeness kind of started dipping down until we get to the ridiculousness of that ghost thing. I was totally into the idea of Buffy being evil and about to kill Tara and Willow. I was like, oh, here it is. She's going to kill Tara right next to Willow. And then Willow will pledge some kind of blood feud and it'll be amazing. And then she'll try to kill Dawn. And then... And although that didn't happen... I really, really enjoyed the twist. I really enjoyed the people getting possessed. So I'm basically going to say that this episode deserves 8 out of 10. Something slow and pensive. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, I'll go next. I am, like, of two minds about all these things. You know, I understand it has to be slow. The pacing is slow because Buffy is of Buffy's mind at the time, and she's coming out of this depression or whatever of being woken up from the dead. I understand that. And I think the reason that this seems so old hat of a demon possessing each character is because I watch so much television that in every genre show you have to have that episode where an entity possesses every character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's me. It's not the show. And, but I give it 7 out of 10. Oh, dear Lord.
7 out of 10 what, Steph?
7 out of 10. Oh, dear Lord.
Okay.
Oh, dear Lord.
Gabby, Kim.
Gabby first.
I guess I'll go. I don't want to crap on this episode because I feel like I've been crapping on everything lately.
It's fine.
Yeah, but... crap on whatever you want, Gabby.
Like I mentioned before, I'm really having a difficult time with the feel for this season. And again, it took me a really long and multiple times to get through the whole entire episode where there were some things that you guys were talking about that I don't even remember. So therefore, I'm going to say that this really didn't leave a huge impression on me in this particular episode. So I guess I will give it 5. out of 10 bloody knuckles.
That's not too bad.
It's not. I don't want to crap on it, but I don't have anything really, you know, positive to say either.
So is your theory that she only used one hand to get out of that grave? Kimberly.
I didn't really care for the first, I don't know, 9/10 of this episode, but the last little bit kind of saved it. There are parts that I liked. We talked about it at nauseam already. Sorry, guys, but like, overall, I'm probably going to give it like a 6.5. No, probably 6. Yeah. 6 out of 10. Yeah. Someone stole my breeding system, Skin Muppets, but I'll still use it. I didn't enjoy this episode. I'm sorry, folks. Sorry to everybody.
Okay, guys.
Apologize.
No.
We understand. There is a few vocal people that may get upset, but we get it. And there's a lot of people that are just like, you know, that like specific seasons. You know what I mean? Like, there are people that are like, I'm all about season 2 and 3. And there are people that are all about season 6 and 7. So it's really personal preference when it comes to this show.
Folks, you can let us know what you think. You can write us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Correct. And like I said last time, that device you use to take pictures of your penis in a sock, you can use it to make a phone call, probably. And that's 270-40-BUFFY. You can follow us on the Twitter at PotentialCast. And you can join the Facebook. You can ask to join the Facebook group. Keeping spoiler free. That's facebook.com/groups/OculusRift. Really? I don't believe Zuckerberg. No, it's facebook.com/groups/potentialcast, and Zuckerberg is evil. Why would he buy Oculus Rift? I don't understand it. Anyway, folks, something very important is going to happen. We're going to do quotes.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Go ahead, Kim.
That's super important.
Because I know you only do one.
I actually took 3 this episode.
Oh, okay, Rich, go first.
I was put on blast last week.
So our guest can go first, as is our usual custom.
No, you said I'll go first, so I'll go first.
All right,
here we go. It's a Spike quote, guys.
Ooh.
Whoa.
That's the thing about magic. There's always consequences. Always.
Dun dun dun.
Very nice. Guest,
that's me. Okay, I got one from Anya. I mean, evil things have plans. They have things to do.
Gabby!
Hot chocolate for Dawn. You're too young for coffee.
I'm so happy Dawn is not a member of Team Caffeine.
Steph? If she was, Gabby would have to reconsider, right?
Yeah.
What's stronger, your love for coffee or your distaste for Dawn? This would be a tough choice.
At least it's not Tara.
You got that right.
Steph?
Oh, my God.
Send you a picture of Amber Benson drinking a cup of coffee.
That's my new avatar.
Stephanie.
Mine is from that thing. I found a 24-hour place for coffee. Remember that bookstore? Well, they became one of those books and coffee places, and now they're just coffee. It's like evolution, only without the getting better part.
Awesome. My quote is the ever-predictable, what did you do? Do you know what you did? You're like children. Your hands smell of death. Bitches! Filthy little bitches, rattling the bones. Did you cut a throat? Did you pat its head?
Yeah.
Gross.
Well, did you?
Kim, do you want to do the other two?
Not really.
I'll do a Dawn quote. How's that?
Sure.
Huh. That's probably the sort of thing I'm not supposed to see, right?
Right.
Thank God, you scared me half to death. Or more to death. I could kill you. Fuck. I mean it. I could rip your head off one-handed and drink from your brainstem.
See, that's still kind of badass, Spike.
Yeah.
Even though he's kidding.
I agree.
Totally neutered.
No.
She's fine. She's normal. She used to go to bed all the time.
No.
This is true. Going to bed is a normal thing to do. Rich?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us. Where can you be heard on the internets?
You can hear me. I have a intro cast called McKinley Cast. Ooh. It's for freaks and geeks. Yes. If you haven't seen it, it's only 18 episodes. Watch it. It's freaking wonderful. Yeah. You won't regret it. And you can get us on, we have a Facebook group. It's McKinley Cast, a Freaks and Geeks intro cast. And we're on Tabitha's website, quadruplez.com.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. And, I loved it.
You know, I think your presence here has been entirely justified. And I'm afraid to say. Thanks again. Folks, it's time for me to ask Steph the question. The question is, Steph, what is on the plate for next week?
Next week, it's episode 4, it's Flooded.
I can't wait.
How many questions will be answered?
Cannot wait. All right. Folks on YouTube, I'm going to be putting a new link up in the Facebook group, but for now I'm going to end the broadcast so I can play some copyrighted music. All right. See you laters. Yeah, folks on YouTube, we're going to immediately record after a little mini break for a thing, most likely. Anyway, see you. Kim. All right. So here's the perfect song for this episode. Here it is. Here it is. Thinking
Oh my God. Does anybody want a chihuahua?
You and Stephanie should switch dogs.
Yeah, let's do that, what? Steph.
What? I'm sorry, what?
I asked if anyone would like a chihuahua, and then Chihuahua. Really said that we should switch dogs.
Perhaps. Let me tell you.
Nope. I don't want to hear it. You people volunteered to own really the dumbest animal on the planet. you deserve every moment of frustration, and why did you eat that?
She chewed up my brand new bra. She yep. chewed up my brand new tennis shoes.
Yep.
I just bought new shoes. She just chewed up my...
Yep. Yep. That's the way it works.
She's so smart. That's what's so frustrating. She knows what she's doing.
Now, did you realize she was smart when she was a puppy and was eating her own poop?
No. Or, she was not smart then. Dog. She was like crazy. Like she was she was just crazy. Insane. But like one day it all clicked and she was like, she watches my feet and she knows where I'm and she wants to go outside. She wants to go bye-bye and she knows exactly what I'm saying. I know exactly what she wants. But she knows where I'm at and she knows when she's done wrong. But she just can't help it when she's left alone.
She knows when I am hungry.
So what you're saying is she's bad and she acts out when she has separation anxiety issues?
Yeah, and she just likes to chew. And she just...
You know what my cat does?
What?
Nothing.